You're listening to Marketplace Weekend from APM. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. If you listen to this show, you know I live in New York, which means I take the subway and spend a lot of time reading on it. This week, I have been carrying around Sarah Vowell's new book, Lafayette in the Somewhat United States. It's about the Marquis de Lafayette and his tremendous influence in the founding of our country. And honestly, it took me reading this book on my commute to work to realize that the Lafayette Avenue subway stop, where I get on the subway every day, is named for this guy. I feel like I should refund my college tuition. But Lafayette is everywhere in America, and Sarah Vowell and I talked about that.
I was living on Union Square for about 10 years in New York, and there's a little statue of him there, and I walked by it just about every day because it's next to the sidewalk, and he was kind of one of my neighbors, you know.
Obviously, we're Marketplace, so I'm going to focus on the money part of this, but money and class are
very... Do you want to do the numbers?
I do not want to do the numbers because that would... I think everyone's heard the numbers.
I wouldn't want to be doing the numbers like during the French Revolution, you know.
Yeah, they would. Well, also, you know, they don't work out that well for him. He does have to run away.
No, that's
but
true.
But how did a really rich young Frenchman end up, as you put it, working for free for a bunch of, you know, anti-tax protesters?
When Lafayette decided to take off from France and throw in with these penniless rebels across the sea, he was 19 years old. So, like a lot of 19-year-olds, I don't know if he had entirely thought it through. The one thing was he came from this military family. Lafayette wanted to follow in his father's footsteps and achieve battlefield glory, and you kind of need battles for that. France wasn't at war yet, so part of it was just he wanted to be a soldier.
Well, this thing that struck me when I was reading this was your research in 2013, and you're going to national parks that are potentially going to be shut down because the government shut down, the election in 1824. And then there's this passage where you say, you know, Franklin's talking about wondering if negotiations would collapse. And you say, that is, to me, the quintessential experience of living in the United States, constantly worrying whether or not the country is about to fall apart. Now, we live in this moment of thinking that that experience is new, but all throughout your book, you're giving us examples of that is, in fact, not at all new, and maybe the thing about what it means to be American?
Totally. I mean, it's our birthright. I mean, I'm speaking to you from Philadelphia, and, you know, the first thing that happens in the Continental Congress, the first thing a guy says, let's open with a prayer. Second thing two guys say, no way, we're Episcopalians and you're Baptists and Quakers and Congregationalists and we can't pray together. All they did in the Continental Congress and later in the Constitutional Convention was argue with each other. I mean, they eventually come to sort of compromises, and I don't think they get enough credit for that, maybe. I mean, it's why the title of the book calls it the Somewhat United States, and I don't mean that completely disparagingly. I mean, while I was working on this, I came to see argument as sort of the through line in our national park, but not necessarily as a failing. And it comes from this republic they established back then. I mean, it was pretty ironic to have to, you know, postpone my trip to Independence Hall to celebrate the inventions at Independence Hall, because Independence Hall was shut down and lights were turned off because the government invented at Independence Hall was set up to have this separation of powers that led to the government shutting down, you know. But in talking about all the places in this country named after Lafayette, I mean, I end at Lafayette Square across from the White House.
Yeah.
And I say that's the most meaningful place named after him, because it's where we protest, and we should not take our bickering and rancor and loathing of one another for granted, because we have that right. We have that right to bicker. We have the right to get on each other's nerves.
Sarah Vowell, author of Lafayette in the Somewhat United States. Thank you.
Oh, sure.